This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for almost 50 years and allows us to bring you great shows like today's. Before we get to our guest, just an invitation for those that may be looking to make a retreat in the coming months. My good friend Father Douglas McKay will be named rector as of Monday, June the 19th. There'll actually be a mass and a reception on Thursday the 22nd. But there's a number of opportunities coming up in the not-too-distant future if you're interested in making a retreat. The weekend of August 4th to the 6th, the Calix Society will be holding its annual retreat at the Malvern Retreat House. That retreat rotates different retreat houses around the country, but it's back in Philadelphia this year. If you care to join us, you can get in touch with me via email at ken@inhissign.com. That's K-E-N, ken@inhissign.com. I can send you the all the information and a link to register for that retreat. The weekend of August 14th to the 16th is my annual men's weekend out at Malvern. Father McKay will be the retreat director this year. If you want to join us for that one, you can go to malvernretreat.com, click on register, and scroll down to the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. Again, that's August 18th to the 20th, and you can register for that one online. You can also register for the inaugural Women's Matt Talbot Weekend. It's going to be September 22nd to the 24th. This is a Malvern-sponsored retreat. There are other Matt Talbot retreats out at Malvern, but are kind of independent of the retreat house. They rent the space, put on the retreat themselves. This one will be being put on by Malvern. And again, you can register for that retreat at malvernretreat.com. And just one other thing, Father's Day is just a couple days away. And if you call the retreat house, you can get a gift certificate. Today's Wednesday. If you're local, you can probably get it before Father's Day this weekend. Maybe you have a son or a husband, the father or grandfather that used to go on retreat or has never been on a retreat. And for Father's Day, why not give them the gift of a retreat? If you call the retreat house, they can make the arrangements to get that gift to you or to them. The phone number is 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. Now, you probably won't be able to get through today, but if you call first thing tomorrow, you can make the necessary arrangements. All right, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest today. It's Dr. Alex Lessard, and Alex has studied theology as an undergraduate at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota with Don Briel, the founder of the Catholic Studies Movement, who introduced him to the writings of St. John Henry Newman and to the breadth and depth of Catholic literature. He took his doctorate in systematic theology at Boston College with Father Matt Lamb, who directed his thesis, Conversion and the Art of Reading, Dante versus Augustine. He's an adjunct professor in the Institute for Catholic Social Leadership at St. Paul Seminary at the University of St. Thomas, teaching the history, philosophy, and mission of the Catholic school. Having helped found St. Monica Academy, an independent classical Catholic school in Pasadena in 2001, he and his wife Angela now support the renewal of Catholic liberal education and culture through their nonprofit, A Deodatus. Alex is the executive co-director of the Cornerstone Forum, founded by Gil Bailey, to bring René Girard's anthropological contribution to human self-understanding into fruitful dialogue with the theological tradition exemplified by Joseph Ratzinger and others. And the list goes on, Alex, but I think that's sufficient to say, but probably most importantly, married, has 9 wonderful children, and is eagerly anticipating their 6th and 7th grandchildren. So, Alex, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. Alex?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the button pushed, but not the answer button pushed. So I've run through your introduction. And just want to say that it's really great to have you with us. We only had a moment to speak before we came on, and Catholic education is something that's near and dear to me and my family's heart. My folks, myself, all came up through Catholic education. My kids, all four of them, went through 12 years of Catholic school, and I'm looking forward to learning more about a Deodatus and the things that you're working on in regards to the Catholic education. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ken. Thanks so much for having me on.
And so was it through your training and the things that you learned about the Catholic faith and Catholic education that kind of steered you here? How did you end up, founding a Deodatus and getting involved in wanting to revitalize Catholic education?
The starting point was really my freshman year in college at what was then the College of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is now a university. And I got there the same year that Don Briel came to teach. He later founded the Catholic Studies program at St. Thomas, which is now carried on by Mike Naughton and John Boyle as co-leaders. He introduced me to the great great Catholic literary tradition, as well as Cardinal Newman. He taught a full course on Newman, where we read all the major texts of Newman, as well as introductory theology and a course on the church. I started working with him as a research assistant, and we started a program, a project on Catholic liberal education that he never finished. We ended up, we just had a year to do that. That sparked the interest in Catholic liberal education for me. I went on to theology at Boston College in a doctoral program. And then a number of years later, here in California, we started an independent Catholic school in Pasadena. That was in 2001. And so I've been interested in it and increasingly involved over the last few years, because 5 years ago, Don, my dissertation director, Father Matt Lamb, a great Trappist from Conyers, Georgia, but originally from St. Paul, Minnesota as well, and then a philanthropist friend here who helped us start St. Monica Academy, as well as being the original donor to St. Augustine Academy in Ventura, California, and Faustina Academy in Irving, Texas, right in the backyard of the University of Dallas. They all died in a 40-day period at the beginning of 2018, and I felt that I had to do more to carry on their work, honor it, and help fill some incredibly big shoes, which we can just hope to do a little, a small part in accomplishing.
Yeah, I mentioned that. We all went through Catholic school, my folks and my family, my kids, and how much we believe in it. And of course, being here in the Philadelphia area, the Catholic schools and the idea of parochial schools attached to the parishes, really blossomed here in Philadelphia with St. John Neumann, as opposed to your John Henry Newman, and yeah. to the point where almost every Catholic church here in Philadelphia would have a school attached to it. And with the proliferation of vocations in the 40s and 50s and 60s, some of these schools and high schools would have, a couple thousand kids enrolled. I have a friend, Father McKay, who joins me in the 4 o'clock hour, and the grade school he went to at its high point had 1,800 kids from first to eighth grade. And, I think a number of factors have contributed to the closing of even that school. You had a school with 1,800 kids back in the 60s or 70s that's now closed. And, part of that, I believe, is the drawdown in the number of vocations, but also the introduction of things like tuition and other circumstances that have led kind of led to the demise, not the complete demise, thank God, but the lower enrollments and the changes in curriculum. And so to hear about what you're attempting to do and this revitalization, I think is critical. I have a couple of friends here locally that are involved in the Regina Academies, which is seems, I think, pretty similar to what you're doing with St. Monica and St. Augustine Academies. We're reintroducing this idea of the Catholic liberal education.
Yeah, you have a wonderful tradition in Philadelphia, not only John Neumann, but Catherine Drexel, a major contributor to the growth in Catholic education in her days, right up into the 40s and 50s of this of 19, basically from 1860 to 1950, she was the height of her contributions were towards the end of that, but what a wonderful tradition. And of course, this all comes out. She was about 30 years old when the Third Plenary Council of Baltimore mandated that every parish have a school. And one of the bishops at that time made a statement that sounds like you it's so strong a statement. He said that the Catholic schools were more important than the church for the future of Catholics in America. And of course, he didn't mean that in any way to take away from the sacraments and the parish life of Catholics, but to say that the lifeblood of the church is the proper formation of children within the faith and their education all the way, ideally for lifelong education towards beatitude in the perfection of the soul, morally, intellectually, and religiously. So that's in Pasadena, where we are, had a similar growth, where just until very recently, every parish had a school, and it's still almost every parish. But this is, I think, what we have to get back to, because it is the fullness of education. The Catholic Church has not only the intellectual tradition of the liberal arts, but also the handmade and highest science of theology, philosophy and theology, that come down to the level of catechetical instruction in the early days, but towards which every Catholic student can progress through a Catholic education. So I think there's it's a perfect moment right now to reaffirm that dedication to every child in a Catholic school, every parish with a Catholic school. This is Father Peter Stravinskas of the Catholic Education Foundation has called it the 1886 moment, and I think I like that a lot. That's what I feel we have. We have that moment right now, where parents are much clearer on the important on some of the challenges in the options that they may have been part of in education, and they're much clearer on what they need to do for their kids. And this is taking shape not only in the homeschool movement and the charter school movement, but in the founding of independent Catholic schools. And then I think most importantly, the rejuvenation of this great American Catholic parochial school system, which had 13,000 schools at its peak in about 1965. And if we look at the per capita decline since that peak, not only have more than 50% of those schools gone away, about 75 to 80% of the Catholic students who should be in Catholic schools are not there. So there's been a decline of the participation by families in their Catholic schools by three quarters or more.
Yeah, and like you said, the bishop that it talked about how important it was because the kids would be the lifeblood of the parishes. You know, I just think, you know, when we go to Mass on Sunday and the number of people you see that are of either elementary school or high school age, it has definitely been impacted by the lack of education. I don't always know if it's because the parents aren't bringing them up with the sacraments and letting them make their own choices when they get older, if it's, you know, the general the general numbers are down. But it's what's interesting to me is that it seems that the enrollments in the private academies, to your point, is up, that people are seeking that out. And I know just here in the Philadelphia area, we have a parish that is strictly traditional Latin Mass. And I think most of the kids that are attending there are finding themselves in those the Catholic private academies that have risen up over the years. And I say that because for those that are listening, sometimes when we hear that word liberal, especially in the political world today, it can generate negative connotations perhaps. And maybe if you could just briefly explain what a Catholic liberal education means versus a regular education, or even the Catholic education that I came up with, because I know the education that I was given in my 12 years at Catholic school was probably more like a public school education plus a religion class, but more to it than that. I mean, the teachers would obviously, whether it was math or science or any of the other subjects, would interject or the Catholic faith into it. So it just wasn't that one period a day where we had religion class. But I don't think it was anything close to what you've been working with this idea of Catholic liberal education.
Well, yes, there is no political element to this term, and there shouldn't be.
Right.
Liberal in this sense is simply freeing or liberating education, and it's the liberation from not only ignorance, the consequences of original sin being the darkened intellect and the weakened will, concupiscence and malice. It's within the sacramental life of a parish, it is the liberation of the mind and will together, the body, soul, and spirit together towards the fullness of truth. Now, the liberal arts traditionally were grouped in two sets, the trivium and the quadrivium. The trivium being grammar, logic, and rhetoric, logic or dialectic, and grammar originally just meant it was more like literature. So it was the part of education, of reading literature and understanding the words. Now it tends to be more like language, the parts of speech, etc. Logic being the ability to analyze arguments, and rhetoric being the ability to articulate in a persuasive manner what you have known or what you've learned and made your own. And then as important but less adverted to now within the so-called classical education movement is the quadrivium, which is arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy, and music in the broad sense of theory and practice. Like Plato spoke of music and gymnastic, there's an element of, so it's the harmony, not only of sound, but there are other elements to it. It's got a mathematical element in the scales, in the harmonics, etc. So arithmetic, geometry, and then astronomy, all of which together are the preparatory the three ways and the four ways, which is what they, the quadrivium and quadrivia mean, are the preparatory stages or ways towards philosophy and theology. They don't stand on their own, even though they are pursued. They're not pursued instrumentally for the sake of applied mathematics or simply to for debate or whatever. But they are I guess in a sense they're instrumental to the highest studies. And this is meant to be a lifelong thing. This is not, you know, even at the height of theological reflection in the Summa Theologica, for instance, with Aquinas, that was a beginner's manual. We don't even know what Aquinas would have done for an advanced degree, because he gave, you know, he didn't even finish the introductory one once he had his mystical experience.
Right.
But so to step back and wrap up what you were asking about, liberal education is the ordered progression through levels of knowledge and aspects of knowledge of the world and of the self and ultimately then of God, because those are the three things we can study and come to know, God, the world, and ourselves and other men. It's that ordered and progressive movement through the ways towards the highest learning, in which everything is related to everything else. God's knowledge, as Aquinas understood it, was a single act of understanding everything. And we, of course, understand a little here and there, separate from other things. And the further we go towards wisdom, the more we can hold in our minds at once. And our goal is ultimately that same. We have a natural desire to have that knowledge and union with God, our Creator, and we are able to do that because we're made in His image and likeness. So that, you know, that's a lot of aspects, but that is, liberal education is the start towards that perfection.
Very good, and it seems to have gone off course in some regard, not necessarily in the church, but that's led to some of those other connotations that we don't need to talk about. But the beauty that I see in this is that it's a complete education, and I think today that it's so chopped up, and even looking at my own education and those of my children, it wasn't unified and aimed anywhere. It was all independent. And so I'm listening to you as you're describing it, and how everything I know today is interrelated. There isn't anything today practically that stands alone. You know, every thought, every idea, every activity has it affects something else or someone else. And to try to figure out how to teach this, and I'm assuming that this is what you and others that are involved with the De Aedatis are all about, is kind of exciting. Now, is this something that you hope to take to the diocesan parochial schools that would be attached to parishes as well, or is this leaning more towards the private academies that have sprung up?
First, that was really well put, Ken, on the challenges and especially on the specialization of education. So both the dissection of the parts and the separation of the parts of knowing from the whole is a major problem, but then also the materialism and relativism, which don't allow, they cut off the path towards truth. And if you don't think you're going to find it, you're not going to look for it the way you should, and you're not going to be patient and humility. You're not going to have the humilitas and the docility, you know, the docility and the humility to work through the challenges of misunderstanding and error, but then also the instrumentalization of education is a major. I think that's our, that's, you know, besides relativism and nihilism, the instrumental the instrumentalization of education is our biggest challenge. That everything people assume it should be for the sake of a job, a wage, a practical application, which a great education will prepare you for better than anything else, but it's not for the sake of that. But then to get to your very important question, we are already working with the diocese, four dioceses, in fact, already, and our big goal is to help take and support this this great renewal that has happened really since you could pin it to John Henry Newman, but it was also happening in other places, both on the continent and in America. So Europe and America, there were already movements towards this, but Newman really brings it together in the idea of a university and in his life of educating, all the way up through Chesterton, whose death we're at the 87th anniversary of Chesterton's death today. Chesterton was a great proponent of Catholic education. Charles de Connick, who taught in Laval, Canada, Quebec, Canada. There are John Sr., Christopher Dawson, the great historian. There are so many, including my own mentor, Don Briel, and the Catholic Studies movement. So we are hoping to celebrate the entire tradition in all of its rich varieties, from the Augustinian to the Benedictine, Franciscan, Dominican, Ignatian, up through, you know, the lay Thomist, etc. But for the sake of to communicate the importance of these figures in the classroom today, in the at the elementary, secondary, and college level, and we hope that this will extend and accelerate the renewal of Catholic education in this great parochial system that that has suffered for decades, but is starting to turn. So we are already an approved program within the Archdiocese of LA, where our home, and teachers who come from any educator who comes from Los Angeles parochial school will be able to get catechetical certification hours for attending or for viewing our videos after the conference. We're also preparing something for the Archdiocese of Boston for their 100 schools. We have the superintendent of the Archdiocese of Denver coming to our conference here next week in Pasadena, and a representative from Cincinnati. From the Diocese of Cincinnati will be coming as well. And we're talking with many, many others. And our hope is really to bring this. We have a 3-year schedule of conferences. The first year is the major figures of the tradition and its renewal. We'll turn to principles, themes, curricula, pedagogy, and culture next year. And then in the third year, we'll gather as many wise and experienced teachers as we can to talk about the future of Catholic education in America, to bring their wisdom to bear on what's left to be done, how we can do it better, think about it in creative ways to bring this renewal to every Catholic parish.
Amen. Dr. Lasar, we've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break and play a spot that we need to. And We'll come back and continue our discussion after the break. For those that may have joined late, our guest today is Dr. Alex Lessard, and we're talking about Catholic education in general and the Catholic liberal education in particular. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario DiAdamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at InHisSign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that allows us to bring you great shows like today's. And again, our guest today is Dr. Alex Lessard, and we've been talking about an organization he is involved with, Deodatus, and the revival of Catholic education, something that's near and dear to my heart. And as we mentioned in the first segment, how critical it is to have this Catholic education for our kids and young adults in order to not only grow in the faith for them personally, but to keep our church alive and well. So rather interested in the topic, Doctor. Just before we get started, again, it's interesting to me how we actually got connected. One of the things I didn't read in your bio, but that I'm aware of, is your involvement with the Cornerstone Forum and their work with the teaching of Rene Girard. And one of your one of the members, and I think he's on the board now, Bill Wynn, the Cornerstone Forum, is a good friend of mine. And so he introduced me to Rene Girard probably 2 years ago. And I know how thrilled he is to be a part of the Cornerstone Forum. And he had actually recommended that I have Gil Bailey on to talk about his new book. And when I contacted Sophia to try and make that happen is when they let me know about the work that you were doing. So always interesting to me how God connects the dots and puts the right people in our lives at just the right moment. And it just so happened that this day was available because, as you mentioned before we went to the break, one of the things we want to make sure people are aware of is the conference that is going to happen beginning on the 20th of June, the Deodatus Conference. And where can people learn more about that, Doctor?
Yes. Well, first, thank you. That is a wonderful connection. And I just received 100 copies of Gil's new book, The Apocalypse of the Sovereign Self, which we are going to be giving away at our conference. Between 15 and 20 of the next people who would sign up for streaming, if they couldn't make it out here to Pasadena, we'll give them a signed copy of Gil's new book, which is really, really excellent. So it's been a pleasure to meet Bill and have him onto the board. We hope we can spread the word on both Gerard and Gil's work over time. But as you say, we're hosting this conference from next Wednesday, the 21st, through the 24th, Saturday, the 24th. And it's in Pasadena. Our host church is St. Andrew Church in Old Town Pasadena, a beautiful church, a replica architecturally of two different Roman churches, one exterior, one interior. And then our talks are at the Westin, which is just a few blocks away from St. Andrew's. And we are starting with Jesus the Teacher at the heart of Catholic education. And that's always the case, the Alpha and the Omega. That's always where we want to start. Mikhail Ballstein, who is he's taught at many places, but he's coming from Franciscan University, where he is now. He'll start off the conference, and then we'll go to Plato by James Matthew Wilson, who used to teach at Villanova, Ed Fazer, who is here in Pasadena, and he'll speak on Aristotle. Mike Foley, who's at Baylor, will speak on the importance of Augustine to Catholic teachers in the classroom today. David Deeble is coming from St. Thomas in Houston to speak on St. Benedict. And we just keep going. Father Spitzer on St. Ignatius. Margarita Mooney Clayton is coming from Princeton to speak about Jacques Maritain and Luigi Ciussani. We have Joe Heschmeyer from Catholic Answers speaking on De La Salle and St. John Bosco. Dale Alquist will come from Minneapolis to speak on Chesterton, and again, on and on. So it's the major figures. All the details are at adeodatus.com. Deodatus was St. Augustine's son, a brilliant young man who died at 17, but even by the time of his 15th, just before his 15th birthday, he was already part of Augustine's writings. He was a conversation partner in a number of the dialogues that Augustine wrote. And Augustine said that he was not only brilliant, but remarkably chaste, which is, of course, he came into this world because Augustine wasn't chaste. So, and in fact, when Augustine was 17. Anyway,
yeah.
So adeodatus.com, and we would love to have anybody who could come. It's getting a little late. We know that, but we will have an online library and live streaming that everybody will have access to, so people can stream from anywhere, and then they'll have access to those videos and many other resources in an online library forever.
Very good. I'm thinking about my 25-year-old son, Alex. So, like I say, God always has an odd way of getting people where he needs them to be. He actually majored in sports management in college. He loved sports, landed an internship at Villanova University with their football team for a year. But when it came time to get a paying job, there was nothing out there. And he got a job that he really didn't like. And he started substitute teaching in a Catholic school where my wife was the secretary to the principal. And he found out that he loved teaching, and that the kids took a liking to him right away. The principal even commented that there were kids that she saw him having conversations with that hardly ever spoke to anybody. And so he's the kind of guy that now he's now teaching in a Catholic school. He's going to go back for his master's in education, but trying to, as I'm listening to you talk and the importance of what you're passing on to teachers these days, I'm thinking about the conversations that happen over my kitchen table about, you know, what's going on in the school, and it's not what you're talking about. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's that I think that we're a couple generations perhaps removed from the classical Catholic education that, and I don't even know if it was there when the schools I went to were filled with nuns. A lot of these nuns were, you know, 17, 18 years old when they went into the convent and were teaching by the time they were 20 or 21. So they certainly didn't have theology and philosophy degrees. But how do we, like someone like my son, how do you start to reinvigorate the idea of this Catholic liberal education with these younger people that are getting into education? And if you're going to teach in a Catholic school, at least here in the Philadelphia area, you're not making a great salary. So it really is a vocation, but I don't think that it's the vocation that we've been talking about today.
That's a very keen observation. I think you're right on all those points. I'm not sure there was ever a fully understood path through the liberal arts in any universal way, but that's what we are able to do. That's really, I think, the moment is ripe for getting really clear on all forms of Catholic education, because there are these charisms within the orders, as well as the particularities of local, you know, local communities, parishes, dioceses. So I think and all education is tied to personal influence. Just think of Ignatius and Xavier. If Francis Xavier had not met Loyola, and Loyola was a crippled old man at that point, you really wouldn't have the fullness of the Ratio Studiorum and the richness of Jesuit education, which was the leading education for hundreds of years, and that was the personal influence of Ignatius. Augustine coming into contact with St. Ambrose, the personal, leading friends forward into the truth and towards goodness and beauty. That's what Catholic education is. It's true in the Our Father, as Jesus teaches us how to pray. And it's true in every form of education. It's always the parent leading the child forward in love, or the teacher leading, or leading, but also standing side by side, looking towards the truth. So I think we're at a point where we can really retrieve, reformulate, and reinvigorate or renew all of these things for today. And so what we want to give educators, and that's both teachers and leaders, pastors with schools, heads of schools, as I mentioned, superintendents are coming. we have Archbishop Gomez will come and speak he'll give a sermon and say a mass for us. And what we want to be able to bring as much of this rich tradition from which not everyone will take everything, but there will be something that everyone can take, whether that's Newman or Benedict, or the approach of Saint Francis or the Dominicans, just understanding where education and the sacraments go together, and the mutual influence of the religious and the intellectual, of faith and reason. We have this moment where we can do this, and what we want to do is bring as many resources to educators at all levels, but especially at that secondary, Catholic parochial school level, to really form and enlighten and help students along the path towards their whole life's pursuit of perfection.
Well, I have to say, Doctor, after being with you for 45 minutes, I'm excited about where this is headed. There's so many lights, I think, that are starting to turn on in what seemed to be an ever-increasingly dark world. And every once in a while, especially because I get to do this on Wednesdays and talk to various folks in the Catholic world, there's a lot of these activities that are going on in various parts of the country, various parts of the world, within our Catholic faith and within the Catholic Church. And one of the great things about being able to do this is that I get to learn about them and then share them with our listeners. And so it seemed to me for quite a while that Catholic education was spiraling down, and both in the numbers and perhaps the content, and that I think that, like you said, the work's not only critical, but the phrase that comes to my mind is the harvest is ready and the workers are few, but you're going to create more workers and hopefully play a major role in this revitalization that I truly think is going to occur, because I think things have gotten to the point now where people are finally starting to wake up, I think, and realizing that there's more to this world than the materialism and the relativism that they've sold themselves to, and waking up to something bigger and greater, and that's nothing more than God, right? So
yeah.
I've covered the material that I wanted to cover with you. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to leave with our listeners before we part ways.
Well, I think you just brought up one of the ancillary, happiness is our, happiness and joy, and beatitude, they're all describing the same thing in the end. But that is our goal. Our desire is for eternity, not for temporality, not for material things or anything that is lower than the ultimate, or less than the ultimate. And we are in a moment where there are so many young students who are anxious and depressed and suicidal and lack hope and joy and happiness and a path to happiness. And it, part of that is that they're not being educated well, and part of it is that they're not being given the religious education that they need or the religious formation that they need. And Catholic education has all the answers to that, and we have to bring it to them in new ways, in renewed ways, if you will. But we have we have what we need to do that, and as you say, we do need more workers, and that is changing. I mean, that need is being met more and more every year, which is terrific. But yes, there's a very long way to go, and there's a lot of there really is a lot of pain and suffering to be redeemed on this path.
Very good. Our guest today has been Dr. Alex Lessard. We've been talking about Catholic education in general and his Deodatus conference and other work in the Catholic liberal education space. And I can tell you that I've learned a lot in the last 50 minutes or so, Alex, and I certainly appreciate your time. I know you must be quite busy getting ready for the conference next week. How many people do you anticipate having there?
We have about 120, 25, and we have a lot more who will be streaming.
Right.
Again, that's a great way to do it. If you can't make it to Pasadena, see adeodatus.com. And yes, I think you're exactly right. We're a bond of connection between people, as Newman said, and building the community is part of the work.
Very good. I'm looking forward to seeing the results someday. Unfortunately, I mentioned when we came back from the break that I was going to this started out by me trying to have your friend Gil Bailey on. And we were supposed to have him next week, but our studio, the landlord, is going to renovate. So we're not going to be able to broadcast live next week. So I've just asked the same representative that connected you and I to reschedule with Gil. So I'm looking forward to that and talk about Rene Girard and yes. What have you. So listen,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for spending the almost the whole hour with us today. I certainly appreciate it. And I'll keep tabs on you. And when I get home from here and have dinner with my son tonight, he's going to learn all about a Deodatus.
So, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kim.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Take care, and God bless the work that you're doing.
God bless you.
All right. So for our listeners, I hope you found it informational. I know so many of our listeners that spent at least some time in Catholic schools, and you know, it's in here, especially I think in the Philadelphia area, we defined ourselves by the parishes or the schools that we went to. You know, coming up when you got to high school, you didn't ask what town the kids lived in, you asked what church they went to or what parish they belonged to. And then as you became adults and you'd be introduced to other people, and if they, you know, I guess we Catholics tended to hang closer together, and you know, it was normally the first question is, what parish did you grow up in? And it'd be interesting to see the reaction you would get from those that weren't Catholic and didn't come up in a parish. And what was even more interesting would be Protestants that, you know, never went to a Catholic church, but they knew what you meant, and they would respond with the parish that they would have gone to had they been Catholic. And I think in a lot of ways that we've lost that identity, and I don't think it's so much a fault of our own as much as it's been a progressive movement, if you will, over the last 40, 50, 60 years that has led to this point. And as dark as it seems, and you know, I say it with friends all the time that, you know, every time you think it can't get any worse, something else happens. But that's why we're here, because we can bring you guests like Dr. Lessard and others that, you know, you can still hear the hope and the joy in their voice, that they know that all is not lost, and that, you know, Christ is going to take care of us, that God is going to take care of us, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but that light's God. And so we need to do all that we can to first get ourselves right with God. And that includes, you know, obviously weekly Mass at a minimum, hopefully daily Mass or at least a couple other Masses during the week if time allows, frequent celebration of the other sacraments, especially confession and Holy Eucharist. And we need to do that first and get ourselves in tune before we can pass it along. If we try to pass along what we don't have, people see right through us. So I would pray that we all continue to grow closer to our Lord and Savior, and that through that closeness that we become a light to the world, that we're able to witness to others, sometimes with words, more often with action, that we are Christians and Catholics, and that we're on the right path. We also need to be happy. Dr. Lessard alluded to at the end there, you know, we're wired to be happy. God created us to be full of joy. The only true joy we experience, though, is when we do what it is that God wants us to do in living in His will, doing the things of His will that that brings about great joy. And it's that joy that just oozes out of people that are on that wavelength. And so, you know, what is it that we can do in our own lives to bring us closer to Christ so that we can experience that, that joy that He wants for all of us, and, you know, avoid the doom and gloom of the world, the flesh, and the devil? So I mentioned a couple times over the course of the last couple of hours that we're going to have some major renovations being done here in the studio here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We're going to have to make some adjustments. Those of us that broadcast, a few of us will be broadcasting from a home or office or somewhere other than the studio. Because of the situation, just happens to butt up against a vacation that I've been planning to take for quite a while now. We will not be live on Wednesdays for the next 4 weeks. Maureen always does a great job of picking out recorded programs that fall into the liturgical calendar at just the right time and what have you, so I want to thank Maureen for that. But we will not be live. One of the things I can tell you is I'll be traveling to Rome and a couple other spots in Italy over that time, and I will be taking you with me in prayer and remembering you at hopefully daily Mass on the days that I can get there. And I just ask that you would continue to pray for In His Sign Catholic Radio and for me in particular for a safe trip and a happy return to you in a month from now. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.